Robert F. Diggs is trying to last longer than the average rapper. He founded the Wu-Tang Clan in New York in the 90s, and under the name The RZA, he became one of hip-hop's most influential voices. Diggs is now enjoying a second act in films. He composed the music for Quentin Tarantino's Kill Bill movies, and he appeared as himself in Coffee and Cigarettes, in which he gave medical advice.
I told him, you know, lay off the dairy products, chill on the citric acid, and they should feel a little better, you know?
So, you a doctor now or something?
Yeah, yo, I told you, yo. I've been studying alternative medicine for 2 years now, son. I mean, ancient healing techniques and all that, yo.
Though it was a movie, it's not hard to imagine the real-life actor having such an interest. In his new book, The Wu-Tang Manual, the RZA writes about how he created his group's own mythology, drawing on Eastern religion and kung fu movies, among many other things. Now he says he wants to grow beyond his hip-hop past, even as he learns from it.
To be a real actor, you have to train. I mean, to be an Al Pacino or Robert De Niro, that's a true actor. But what we're doing in hip-hop, we have so much personality in us and so much performance power that for us to go from the stage to the screen is an easy transition because there's no fear in us. Getting in front of 30,000 kids, taking your shirt off and yelling out your name and all that is enough, is going to have you bold enough to go in front of the camera and act out a scene. If you look at some of the hip-hop artists in our generation, you'll see that first they have one name. Like me, I was the RZA, then I became Bobby Digital. Bobby mm-hmm. Digital is a character. I'm acting like Bobby Digital. That's not me. I'm characterizing myself. So it's very similar. But to be a true actor, you know, Academy Award artist, you know what I mean? That's going to take years for any hip-hop person. Ha! Holocaust from the land of the lost. Behold the pale horse or poor. Follow me, Wu-Tang gotta be. The best things since starts in Clark Wallabies. African killer bees, Black Watch. On your radio, blowing out your watch. Every MC, I don't care if he's your brother, if he's an MC, his aim is to be the best MC. And if you are an MC, you are basically his competition, even if he's down with you. Even my younger brother, he's a group called Killer Army, and he strives to be a better MC than me, simple as that. And he'll challenge me to stand his ground, you know what I mean? I think, look at a rapper like MC Hammer, right, from the old days, who we definitely would consider not a great MC, but he said he's the best. You won't find one rapper who don't feel that he's the best MC, you know what I mean?
Do you ever wonder about that aspect of rap lyrics, that so much of the words, no matter who the rapper is, will be, well, about the rapper? It's all about the person saying how great he is.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, rap is definitely a super-duper egotistical art form. And a rapper does rap a lot about himself and what he can do. But when you start checking into some of the Wu-Tang lyrics, you'll see that we kind of went away from talking about ourselves and went into talking about the world, about ideas, about philosophies, about concepts.
One of the most interesting things that you've done here, I think, is chart out the lyrics of some of your hit songs.
Yeah.
And it's an amazing range of references. The movie The Shining, the movie Fame, Fat Albert, Spider-Man, Chemicals in the Hudson River, Pablo Escobar, the Colombian drug dealer, mm-hmm. the Bible, the Palestine Liberation Organization to PLO someone to assassinate. We could go on and on.
Yeah. And, well, also, you know, you look at Wu-Tang Clan, you got an amazing range of individuals there. You know, from our first album to our fourth album, man, you know, some people thought that we went from talking English to French. I've been approached by some guys in the hood, like, y'all don't know what y'all talking about no more because it's above our heads now.
Oh, what does it make you think about when you, as you say, you go back and you find out that there are people who don't get what you're saying anymore?
Well, experience is the best teacher. And if you're stuck in a four-block radius for most of your life and everything you rely on or deal with is right within that radius, you have a very small view. There's an old saying that a wise man is a traveling man because you see more. You know, I had an interview a few years ago with a similar question about, you know, what are we talking about? And I'm like, yo, look, I done seen the world, man. It's not what y'all think it is. The things that we felt that was important is not important anymore.
You analyze a single line here from your colleague Raekwon, and the line is, I grew up on the crime side, the New York Times side.
Well, he grew up on the crime side, you know, the negative side of life, the drug dealing, gun toting, the stuff you read about in the New York Times, you know what I mean? The violence you read about in the New York Times, the stuff that makes the headlines. He follows up with a sentence, staying alive was no job. Meaning, it wasn't easy. Staying alive wasn't no job. He had secondhand. Secondhand means he got clothing that his brother wore or his cousin wore. That's secondhand clothing. Had secondhand. Moms bounced on old man. His mother left his father. They had a bad relationship, so they moved to Shaolin, which is Staten Island.
I grew up on the crime side, the New York Times side. Staying alive was no job. Had second hands. Moms bounced on old man. So then we moved to Shaolin land.
So within four lines, you heard his almost his whole life. Being from the culture and being a man who lived a life that could go both ways, I know that we did a lot of stupid things as kids. You know what I mean? It was fun to cause trouble, to get drunk and ride the subways and get into a fight with somebody and to be the toughest guy or one of the toughest guys in the neighborhood or to be part of a crew that was causing chaos. I don't know, it felt like some kind of freedom, but it was ignorance, really, because the negativity brings about negative results.
You said that you've lived a life that you could have seen going either way at different times.
Guaranteed.
Going both ways.
Do
you still, every once in a while, feel yourself being pulled a little bit in that other direction?
Not pulled in a way to where it's going to be detrimental to myself, you know what I mean? But if I get too, if I feel, you know, aggression, I can't get it out through my art, you know what I mean? That's a good thing, you know? I believe everybody should have a punching bag in their house, you know what I mean? But I definitely recycle back into some old ideas. But I don't let nothing negative conquer me and grab the best of me, because I know the results of the negativity is only going to be a negative result.
Robert Diggs, thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Robert Diggs, also known as the RZA, is the author of the Wu-Tang Manual. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.